So, I want to preach to you guys tonight a message called Digging for Gold. Somebody say digging. Somebody say for gold. Okay, so like, probably one of my favorite movie series has to be Indiana Jones. Right? Do I have any Indiana Jones fans in the room tonight? I got my front row over here holding it down strong. Okay, how many guys have done the sin of never seeing Indiana Jones? How many guys have never seen Indiana Jones? You guys need to get saved. Oh, my goodness. So if you don't know who Indiana Jones is, in essence, he's a treasure hunter, right? And it's just really fun, dope movies. You know, Harrison Ford kills the role. But, man, I want to preach to you guys tonight a message called Digging for Gold. And basically what we're going to talk about tonight is how to read your Bible. Right? And whether you realize it or not, man, inside your Bible, inside your word, is that there is gold, okay? Like, there are nuggets of truth that are actually more weightier and more valuable than any amount of gold or money that you could ever get in life. You know, like, I love what David writes in Psalms 119, or I think it's David that writes, right? He says, God, like, he says, your commandments and your statutes, man, that I value them more than silver and gold. He said, God, I would rather understand your word and your truth and your commandments and your statutes more than I would have a bank account with a bunch of ones and zeros. Why? Because David understood, man, what was held in the commands and the instructions of God. And guys, here's the thing, okay, listen, is that, right, so last week we talked about being lovers, right, as we kind of had that, like, spontaneous service message or whatever, right, and we talked about how God is after lovers, like, and here's the thing, is that I can't love God apart from his word. Like, I can't say, oh, man, I love God so much, and I don't love his word. Right? Why? Because he is the word. You know what I mean? And listen, why is there gold trapped inside the word of God? Because he is the word. He is the word. So, like, when I get this, I mean, I get him. You know? Like, catch that, man. But I get the reality where probably most of us in the room are at, and we're like, yo, like, I have a hard time reading my Bible. Now, listen, if we're honest tonight, by show of hands, how many guys say, yo, it is hard for me to read my Bible? Right? How many guys say, yo, it's hard for me to understand my Bible? All right? Right? It's hard for me to understand it, right? And man, it's hard to read it. It's hard to understand it. And if you're like me at that age, like, yo, like, I want to read my Bible. Yo, like, I want to fall in love with God through the word. But every single time I pick it up, like, the words start running together. Like, I have no clue what they're talking about. They're sacrificing rams in this chapter. In this chapter, God's like, don't boil a baby's goat in its mother's milk. Like, what the heck? Like, seriously? And you're like, how am I even supposed to relate to this book, right? And so tonight, man, I want to give you guys a few tips on how to read your Bible and how to navigate it, because I think that these will really help you. And guys, listen, I'm so serious. Like, once you begin to behold Jesus in the Word, it will revolutionize your life. Like, we have such easy access to something that people in other nations and cultures crave to have. You know, there's some guy, he's like a, I don't know if he's an evangelist or a speaker or whatever, but his name is Brother Jan. Whenever missionaries first came to their villages and gave them Bibles or whatever, so they were in the middle of communist China, right? And so, number one, what he would do, this is beautiful, and to this day he still does it. He reads his Bible 2 hours every day on his knees, just out of reverence for what the word means to him. But whenever missionaries came and they gave them Bibles, because so it's missionaries, you know, you're not allowed to have a Bible, you get thrown in jail, you know, and X, Y, and Z, and tortured and stuff like that. And so what they did is that they would actually go and they would bury their Bibles in the dirt, in the ground, so that when the Communist Party came, they couldn't find their Bibles. And every day he would go and he would dig it up to read it and then bury it again and dig it up and then bury it and dig it up and bury it because of like, because he understood, yo, inside this thing called the Word of God, inside this thing called the Bible, man, it's revolutionary, it's life-changing. How many of you guys have heard of a city, there you go, a city in Switzerland called Geneva. Geneva. Have you guys have never heard of Geneva before? Okay, a few of you guys have. Okay, so check it out. If you don't know where Geneva is, right, or what Geneva is. So Geneva now is probably one of, like, the prominent, wealthiest, nicest places that you could go and visit in Switzerland. But what's amazing is that at one point, it was actually considered one of the worst places on the earth to go in and to be in. But missionaries came, and they brought the Word of God there, and people got a hold of the Word of God, its principles, its truth, and Jesus. And literally, it not only transformed them, but it transformed the city. Right? I'm telling y'all, there's power in the Word, man. And another reason why I want to teach you guys how to navigate your Bibles and how to navigate your Word is because, obviously, so we announced it last week, man, that on Wednesday nights is that we're going to start breaking out more so in a squad, except for the first week of the month. And we're going to be reading our Bibles together. And so what's going to happen is that through the week is that we're actually going to assign you guys chapters of the Bible to read, okay? Like, I'm going to go ahead and give you your homework. Yes, homework. Bless God. Listen, is that this week, make it your mission, okay? Make it your job, is that I'm going to read Matthew 1 through 7, okay? That's a chapter a day. You know how long it takes you to read a chapter of your Bible? Like 5 minutes. Okay, can everybody say I have 5 minutes to spare? I meant like show up hand. You don't have to say it out loud. But that's all good. That's okay. Yeah. So listen, Matthew 1 through 7. Okay. So listen, I wouldn't describe this as like a comprehensive list. Okay, on like how to navigate your Bible. It's definitely not. This is definitely a crash course. Okay. So somebody say number one. Somebody say number one. Somebody say number one. Okay, if you're going to dig for gold, man, then you got to dig with the teacher, okay? You got to read your Bible with the teacher, okay? Listen, like, in the Bible says in John 14 through 16, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is the teacher and that he has made it his job, okay, to reveal to you truth. Listen to what this says in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He's saying, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Listen, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Okay? It says in 1 Corinthians that no one knows what's in the heart of a man, okay, but the Spirit of man, right? And so no one knows what's in the heart of God but the Spirit of God. And if I can be honest with you, it's not impossible, but man, I'm going to lose so much if I don't learn how to read my Bible, engaging the Holy Spirit as I read it. Because he has made it his mission. Listen, it is the Holy Spirit's number one mission in life to teach you and to reveal to you the real Jesus. That's his purpose. Like that is the reason why he lives and he breathes right now, is he says, man, I have made it my mission, is that Jaden, to you, I want to reveal Jesus. Right? And it is impossible to get to know Jesus outside of his word. Okay? Like, listen to what this says in Luke 24. This is a story after Jesus has resurrected from the dead. It says this, verse 13, That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. By our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him." Hang in with me here. Verse 21, it says, "We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to Israel. This happened all 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said that his body was missing." So good. "And they had seen angels who told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in Scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" And Jesus, listen to this. This is what I said, all this to say this. Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus, and at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them, and they sat down to eat, and he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. So many times, right, is that we just said, yo, there are so many moments where I'm reading my Bible, and I'm like, what in the heck am I reading? What is this saying? Listen, whenever I read it with the teacher, whenever I read it with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have the same moment with Jesus that these men had, where suddenly I'm going to be reading it, and man, my eyes are open to truth now, right? And it's like, yo, I just got a download of revelation. I just got a download of the character of God, man. And honestly, it's like, woo! Did I scare you? Kind of jumped a little bit. No, he said no. It's a thing, y'all. I cannot tell you how many times, man, that I remember being 16, right? And I remember being in my room, and I remember being like, Jesus, this is so boring, right? And then I remember, like, God, like, Jesus, like, if you want me to read this thing, then you got to make it interesting, you know? And then I would pray those prayers, and I would say, God, open my eyes, show me truth. Like, and y'all, like, revelation would come and it would hit me, man. Like, and I would get so excited in my bedroom at 16 years old that I'd be holding my Bible and I'd be like, oh, that's so good. With, like, no one around. There were a few times I took a couple laps around my bedroom. All right, because I was so excited because I was like, dang. Right? Why? Because my heart was being opened. My eyes were being opened to revelation truth. And it's this peace. Where, listen, like, it's not just about getting it here, it's about getting it here. I mean, it's about that word making that 18-inch drop and hitting my heart. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So listen, to me, the first step, the first thing that you do when you open up your Bible, right? I think my Bible's in here. Yeah, this is what I do. As I open up my Bible, right, is that I have my Bible. Before I actually start reading it, is that I pray something like this. I say, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. I say something like, Holy Spirit, today show me the real Jesus. That simple. Holy Spirit, today show me the real Jesus. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes. Holy Spirit, I want to understand the word. Teacher, teach me. And y'all, I promise you, as you do that, you guys are going to start getting stuff from your Bible that you didn't even think was possible. Like, you're going to start understanding it, and things are going to start clicking now, right? Because, listen, here's the thing, is that, like, you don't, You don't have to have a master's degree to get this thing. You have to read it with a teacher. Listen, there are things that the Holy Spirit can show you and reveal to you, man, that a guy with a doctorate would never get. Y'all, the Holy Spirit wrote the book, right? I want to read it with him. Somebody say number two. Somebody say number two. Are you guys with me? Somebody say number two. All right, is that, man, you got to dig with understanding, okay? This is like a few just really practical things. Is that number one is this, yo, like find a translation that you understand. I see so many people making the mistake. Is that like I see their Bible and it's like King James Version. It's like, thou has said to thee, wilt thou go into thy land? You know, it's like, bro, how do you understand this? You know, like, yo, listen, there are some awesome translations out there to get, like the NLT, okay, or like the Passion, the ESV, man, the NIV. If you have the Bible app, okay, I highly suggest you download the Bible app, okay, and on there, it has every translation that has ever been made, okay, for you to get. All right, man, so like I personally love to read the NLT or the Passion or the ESV. Okay, number two is this, man, is yo, find a good study Bible. Okay, find a good study Bible. Because here is the thing, is that this book, is that this is an ancient manuscript. Is that this book was not written in America. It was not written in a Western first world culture, is that this book was written over a span of 1,000 years by like 66 different authors, okay? And like for you to get it, is that like I mean, like a good study Bible is so key. Like I love my Bible, is that down here, like it has explanations of things and stuff like that. So this is called the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It's really good. So if you want to get it, man, you got to get a good study Bible. Is that, and I won't even go there. Okay, here's another big thing, okay, is that when I read my Bible, okay, like I know this is really practical, just follow me, okay, is that so many people say, I want to read my Bible today. Where should I read? I don't know. Jesus, lead me. And they open up their Bible, right, to some random page. And it's like, Jesus, speak to me, okay? Like, you will get nothing that way. Okay, and in fact, you will get wrong things that way, all right? Is that I have to understand, like, you would never walk into, like, the middle of a movie, right, and, like, expect to catch the full story, you know? And so whenever I open up my Bible in the middle of a book and I just start reading the middle of that book, right, expecting for heaven to open and for me to understand what in the world is happening inside this book, yo, I'm going to miss context, okay? Like, start at the start of the book and go to the end of the book, all right? Somebody say, start at the start and go to the end, all right? And like I said, that's why we're starting at the start of Matthew, right? So here's a big thing too, okay? As I'm reading my Bible, I'm not just reading it, I'm studying it. Okay? I'm not just reading my Bible, I'm studying it. Like, and as I study, I mean, I'm going to begin to look for things that stand out to me. Because listen, after I pray that prayer, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus, reveal Jesus to me, y'all, is that he's going to make lines, he's going to make words stick out to you, okay? And the reason why that one line is, that looks weird, or, that's interesting, I wonder why that says that. Like, don't ignore that feeling, okay? Like follow that. Okay, follow that. Stop there, all right? And read it again, and read it again, and read it again, and read it again, and read it again. All right, because in that moment, God is trying to get a revelation truth across to you. And if I just, like, abandon it, man, then I'm just like, whatever, right? I'm going to miss out on what he has for me in that verse. Does that make sense? And usually the weirder it is in the Bible, okay, the more important. Okay, like if you run across a passage and you're like, yo, that's really, really weird. It's probably really, really important. Okay? That's fun. Okay, next is this. Number three is if I'm going to get the word, man, if I'm going to dig for gold, then I have to dig with discipline. Okay, I have to dig with discipline. And this means this, man, that I have to set a time, I have to set a place, and I have to show up. Like y'all, here, like, consistency with your Bible is everything. Like, if I read my Bible, like, once a month, like, do you really think I'm gonna get anything from it? Like, if I read my, listen, they did a study, right? And they asked people, they said, hey, listen, I want you to read your Bible, okay? And they asked them, and they said, hey, after one day, did you notice any change in your life in reading your Bible? They said, no, I didn't. Second day, they said, did you notice any change in reading your Bible? And the response was, no, not really. Third day, like, it was very, very, very little. Fourth day. On the fourth day, people said, yo, there's something about that fourth day that man, that my depression started to lessen. That man, my anxiety started to go away. That man, those addictions that I was dealing with, man, all of a sudden on that fourth day is that they began to lose their stronghold on my life. Like they had these different categories, man, and like stuff was plummeting by like 60% on that fourth day of people reading their Bible consistently. Now listen, like, I really want to challenge you. If you read your Bible once a week, this is not going to do you a whole lot of good. If you read it twice a week, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good, man. Even if you read it three times a week. But, yo, I challenge you, okay, at least four times a week. Okay, at least four times a week. Okay, like, I challenge you guys, all right? Pray the prayer, get a translation that you can understand, and read this thing at least four times a week. And I promise you, you're going to see your heart catch on fire for the word of God, man, like you have not seen in your entire life, because you're going to start getting revelation of who Jesus is and what he's like. And once you behold him in the word, y'all, it's done. It's done. Are y'all still with me? You know, there's a quote by a guy named Charles Spurgeon, and it says this. It says, a Bible that is falling apart is being read by a life that isn't. Is that I want to read this book so much that it's falling apart. Right? Is that the next one? I kind of already said this, but I said dig by observing and studying, which is, yo, I'm going to notice things. Listen, and when you notice things in your Bible, like whenever there are words that stick out to you, like underline them, circle them, highlight them, okay? Make notes in your Bible. Yo, like for real, like tap this thing up, okay? Like it is okay to write in your Bibles. Like Jesus is not going to strike you down if you write inside your Bible, okay? Listen, like make notes. When God begins to speak revelation to you, write it down, okay? Because listen, because even though it came from God, if you don't write it down, you will forget it, all right? Okay, and then, man, we have to go. And then the last thing I'll say is this, is that, and this is the most important one, all right? I'm going to hold you guys for like five one more minutes. You have to dig. Y'all, this is the most important thing I'm going to say all night. So if you're asleep, wake up, okay, and catch this. All right, if this book is going to come alive to you, then you have to dig by meditating. Okay? Like, I would argue to say that the Bible, very rarely it tells you to read it, but it tells you a whole bunch to meditate on it. Okay? Now, listen, we think meditation, right? And we think like, right, clear your mind or whatever. Like, that is not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is the opposite. What it means is this, is it actually means to fill your mind. And what the word actually means is it means to mutter something or it means to read it with an undertone. Listen to this. So the Hebrew word meditate is translated elsewhere as plot, growl, and to lament. Listen to this. The common thread here is that it is an activity that is done aloud. With reference to meditating upon the law, the idea is that one reads or recites the law aloud to oneself. In the ancient world, almost all reading was done aloud. Augustine remarked in a well-known passage in his Confessions that he noticed St. Ambrose reading without moving his lips, a spectacle odd enough to comment upon. So check, listen, is that there is something about whenever I begin to take the word and I begin to say it again and again and again and again out loud. Yo, listen, I do this all the time, right? Is that, I mean, I'll take a verse. Like I have been in Revelations 3 a lot lately, right? And so I'll go there. Let me just go there real quick. So I'll go there. And it says this, man. It says, I know all things that you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. It says, I wish that you are one or the other, but since you are lukewarm water, neither not hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have everything I want. I don't need a thing, right? And I'll go down and read it. And it says, and you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And for me personally, it was like, oh, wow. Like, yo, like there's something about that right now that the Holy Ghost is highlighting, that he's pointing out to me. And so I'll go, and you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you don't realize. And I'll say it over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because there's something about, right, whenever you say it for like the 20th time, that every single time I say it, man, is that the word is breaking up hard ground in my heart. Right, and it's breaking up that hard ground in my heart. And that, man, there's something about whenever I begin to say it and say it and say it and say it, and then all of a sudden it's getting into my heart. Listen, is that there is biblically, there is a connection between your mouth and your heart. Right, man, it says in Romans, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. Right, is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Is that there is a biblical connection between your mouth and your heart. And you know, I always used to read, you know, verses in Psalms where he'd be like, hide the word of God in your heart so you don't sin, right? And I'd be like, how do I hide it in my heart? Because I want to stop sinning, you know? And man, you want to know how you do it? You have to meditate on it. Right, y'all, I promise you, as you meditate on your word, and you're going to see it come alive. And so this is what I want you to do. Okay, this week we are reading Matthew 1 through 7. All right, listen, is that we are going to be biblically literate people in this room. Okay, we are going to know our Bibles. We're going to love our Bibles. And we're going to love Jesus. Bless God. But here's the thing, is that as you are reading Matthew 1 through 7, and all of a sudden God begins to highlight to you a phrase, a line, a word, a story in that section of Scripture, don't just rush by it. I want you to stop, and I want you to meditate on that story. Like, even if you get stuck there for 3 or 4 days, and for 3 or 4 days, you're stuck on that one story, and man, I'm meditating on it, and I'm reciting it aloud, and I'm saying it again and again, over and over and over and over to myself. What's happening in that moment is that, man, is that my heart is, revelation is breaking into my heart. All right? Y'all tracking? Is everybody still awake? I know that wasn't the most exciting thing, all right? But listen, if we're going to get this thing, okay? Like, y'all, we got to begin applying these principles, okay? You got to meditate on the word. All right, let me pray for you guys. Jesus, we love you. We bless you tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that right now, come on, I want you to lift your hands in the air. Right now, Jesus, I thank you for a love for your word. I thank you for a love for truth, God. I thank you, Jesus, that for those of us, God, who are just really bored with our Bibles or who don't understand it right now, I thank you that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is resting on them, that all of a sudden, Jesus, that when they're reading their Bibles, that they are seeing you, that Holy Spirit, when they're, God, that when they're opening up the pages, that they're realizing that this is not a dead book, but it is living and it is real and it is powerful, God. So open up eyes this week as we dig into your word. Jesus, as we behold you through the word, open up our eyes, God, and give us a love. Give us a love. Give us a love for your word, Jesus. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.